In the course of my work with Priests for Life, I came across a woman who had survived the massacres in Rwanda and had a chance to spend a number of hours with her. And anyone that would survive such a horrendous event, of course, and keep their sanity, is a remarkable person. But what was really remarkable about Elizabeth is her attitude not just to her own survival or to these horrendous events that we all well remember about 20 years ago in Rwanda, but her attitude towards those who did the killings. For about 3 months, she was hidden by a Protestant pastor, she and about 14 or 15 other people, in a bathroom in the pastor's house. I know that sounds almost impossible, but if you remember that the massacres went on for months at a time, and the killers would go out and do their killing during the day and come back to their villages at night, it seems almost incredible that someone could be able to survive that, but she and these others did. And she said she heard day after day the killings going on, literally just outside in the streets. And so there was a lot of time, I think, for hatred and for the desire for revenge to settle in their heart. I'm sure you'd think so. I'm sure I would think so. But she started to think a hard, hard way of saying, well, why have I survived? And lots of people do that. Lots of people will have this idea, well, why was this person taken and not someone else? Look at this in the first part of the gospel. Isn't that the same case? Why was that person killed? Or why were they killed when a tower fell on them? But that's not what really actually preoccupied her. Instead, she found herself thinking more and more about the killers themselves and what it meant to be able to be driven by that kind of a hatred. Afterwards, when everything calmed down and the international community finally got its act together, she decided to dedicate her life to mercy. And so she went and she found the people who had killed her own family, and she went to forgive them. And they couldn't believe that. They couldn't believe that anybody would forgive them for what they had done. And so she's dedicated herself in these last 20 years to that apostolate of mercy. And as she said, it wasn't because they deserved mercy. That's not it. Mercy is not something you deserve. It's something that's a gift. Think of somebody whom you've hurt. You don't deserve their forgiveness. You don't deserve their mercy. Instead, mercy is given through a gracious gift. That's what grace means. Grace is a sharing in that life of God. And as we heard in the opening prayer, as we heard in the psalm, as we hear again and again, this is the reality of mercy. The reality of mercy is that God is here to give us his love and his mercy. And not love like we're kindergarten kids. That's for the children that are here for the liturgy of the word. That's what they're taking. And that's about as much as they can get. Instead, we recognize who we are, and still God loves us. He loves us in spite of ourselves. I don't know if you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and say, I don't know if I'm that lovable or not. You know, the face only a mother could love, and even she sort of has to grit her teeth sometimes, I'm sure, right? No, that's not it. Mercy is saying, I know who I am, and God will love me in spite of that. That's what mercy is. This year, as you've all heard, Pope Francis has called for a year of mercy. And it's not just something that we can be able to embrace, I think. It's something that means that we have to stop and ask ourselves, for what do I need mercy? Why do I need mercy? If I'm just an okay guy, I don't need mercy, I'll get by, right? But if we really stop and think and pray, we can recognize how we need that power of the mercy of God, of the reconciling grace of God. Along with that, I think it's incredibly profound that the Pope has called for the entire church to take this time, this next coming weekend, to come together to pray. And he's asked all of us to have the churches open so that the whole people of God can come together to pray. And to pray in a very definite way. He's asked that the Eucharist can be exposed so that people can come before the Eucharistic Lord to be able to ask for prayer for themselves and for the whole world. Look around at the world. Unless you're living in a cave without internet or never getting a newspaper, you can see what's happening in the world. And I know it seems like it's all kinds of bad news other than funny kitten videos on the internet. But other than that, no. We look around and we say, the world needs the mercy of God. Look at our own country, which seems to be calmly debating how we kill off the old and the sick. Right? You've got people in Parliament that are calmly talking about killing off the demented elderly. This is a world, a country, a nation that needs the mercy of God. So that call of Pope Francis is for me and it's for you. What we're going to do this weekend is starting on Friday, as we normally do on a first Friday, right after the 5 o'clock Mass, the 7:30 Mass, we're going to have Eucharistic adoration from then, and then with the whole church, right until Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And we'll have the Eucharist exposed here in the holder, the monstrance, throughout that whole time, so that we can be able, as a whole people of God, to pray for the mercy of God. And also, so that each individual can come together with others. That's the remarkable thing about the body of Christ. Here you are, look where you're all sitting. And yet you're connected not just with somebody right beside you or in front of you, the back of the church, the front, the east, the west. We're united with the whole people of God who are gathered together in a profound and a mystical way. We're called to that deeper prayer. There isn't a person alive who doesn't need a deeper prayer to come before the Lord. So I ask you to take the same time you give to Downton Abbey, to take the same time that you give to whatever, to be able to come to take an hour before the Lord. We've asked the Knights of Columbus to actually oversee the Friday night, and the young people are going to take the Saturday night, all day on Saturday, from right after the 9 o'clock Mass until the 5 o'clock Mass on Saturday. Not only will we have Eucharistic exposition, but we'll have priests in the confessionals, both from the parish and outside the parish, as we've had before, to be able to offer the sacrament of reconciliation, that great sacrament of mercy. But we also need people to staff all the hours. If you're going to see at the doors, don't go out the door without stopping and saying, okay, what hour will I give with the Lord? Jesus himself calls and says, come and spend some time away from the craziness of the crowds or the distractions of your cell phones or whatever it is, to be able to take some time with Christ himself. This is really what prayer is all about. Our Lord is here, but it's up to ourselves to walk in the door and spend some time with him. So I challenge you to do that, and especially I want to talk to you men. We all know that it's a beautiful church, but it's a beautiful church that sometimes is in a bit of a sketchy neighborhood. That's the truth of it. And if we're going to have the church open, especially at night, we need men to be here at night. So I say to you, younger or older, come for some of that time in the evening and at night and into the early morning hours so that we can be able to have anyone who wants to be able to be here. I think it's just the place of men to be able to be here through the night so that everyone, women, young people, etc., can be able to be here as the church is open. There it is at the doors. There's not just the challenge for all of us, but it's also a call, an invitation, a direct and clear invitation from Pope Francis, but also from the Lord himself, to come and spend 1 hour with me. Often enough, when I'm here and I look over, you know, at the window of the agony in the garden, and I see our Lord there being ministered to by an angel, and I think, wow, what that must have been like to have an angel to come and give him assistance and aid. And you know what? John, James, Peter are there, and they've fallen asleep. And that's what they've missed. Imagine if they had listened to what the Lord said, could you not spend 1 hour with me? And then your own eyes will be able to be opened to the graces, the power, and the astonishing reality of the presence of Jesus Christ.